Well, I think that covers the basic issues. It's a fairly standard sort of contract for this type of merger. Were there any other special stipulations that you felt the need to address? I have a couple.
I have noted a few as well. If you turn to page 9, you'll see that my client has classified a list of restrictions. I make it a practice to go over restrictions carefully before finalizing any of these contracts.
I do too, though normally for this type of merger, the standard restrictions apply. Let me look. I see here in subsection 8 that your client restricts all use of any sort of external input during the merger. I don't have this as a specific exclusion on my client's list, but I do not believe my client would object to that inclusion.
Very well.
Also, in subsection 8.6, your client excludes all equipment unrelated to my client's original assets. Does that exclude your client bringing in said equipment?
No. The restriction only pertains to your client.
Good. My client has an interest in said equipment, though there are some restrictions pertaining to the type of equipment and specific uses for it. The size of the equipment is an issue as well, due to the available space and other physical considerations.
My client made no stipulations about the type of such equipment, though they do specify if such items are brought into play, that they may only be used in certain scenarios that must be outlined before their use may be accepted. Given the nature of this particular merger, it might not be an issue at this juncture. I suggest we agree to a limit of the equipment to the original assets of both parties.
Very well. We'll mark that category as restricted.
Agreed. That brings up the point of rear entrance accessibility. I see here in subsection 9, paragraph 3, that your client allows it. My client does as well, though it is restricted to specific conditions, specifically on page 16, that oral contact is requested before any rear entrance use.
If you look at page 16, paragraph 6, my client specifically excludes oral contact in that scenario from either party.
Then it is off the table.
Agreed. And I don't see any other issues we need to address.
Nor do I. I believe we have a deal. I'm certain both our clients will be pleased once we review the contract with them. Should I bring our clients in then?
I think we can assume they're eager to sign the contract and move on to the next stage.
I'll go get them.
Was that what I think it was?
Yes. Our clients decided to forego the contract and engage in the merger without it.
Great. This happens way too often. Now I have to prepare for litigation.
I know. But if we didn't require detailed contracts before sex, People would just do whatever they wanted in the heat of the moment. Can you imagine how out of control people would be without it? The sexual contract laws have helped prevent rape and provided easier legal recourse for people victimized by sexual misconduct.
If you say so. Personally, I think they were passed because all the politicians were lawyers and greedy bastards looking for a huge payday.
Well, there is that too.
Say, I find you to be an attractive person. Would you be interested in engaging in a casual sexual encounter with me?
Thank you, and yes, I would. I think it could be beneficial to us both.
Excellent. I'm glad you agree. I've always wanted to have sex on a sexual contract legal table.
Me too.
And all this talk about rear entrances has me thinking.
I like it from the rear.
Well, then let's do it.
Yes, let me go get my personal paperwork and we can draw up a contract.
Right, the contract. Damn.